We have been led by the Spirit to address specific areas that he wanted to purify within us. We have spoken about what it means to have a pure heart and how God is at work literally through us in answering that prayer. And throughout it all, we have actually made mention several times to the importance of the Word of God in this season of asking God for a pure heart. And this issue has actually been on my heart for several months, but it was only in the last 2 weeks that God has been confirming to me that he wanted me to speak about this in our purity journey more specifically. Let's read it again. How can a young man stay pure? Or how can any person stay pure? Only by living in the Word of God and walking in its truth. In my last sermon, you may remember me talking about the Word being like a love letter from God to us. Do you remember that? God loves us. And in his love for us, he has chosen to compile a whole book written by different authors that he inspired over a period of 1,500 to 1,600 years and preserve it for us thousands of years later. I want you to think about that for a moment. This book, written over a period of 1,500 to 1,600 years by different authors who did not know each other, most of them, different generations contributed to this book. And yet, there is a united story unfolding from beginning to end, revealing the same things about who God is, about what he believes, about what he thinks, about what he has said. And there is this thread through this whole book, and it's all about Jesus. This book, friends, is a miracle. The fact that we have this book, it's a miracle that God did for us. It is a gift from God to every single one of us. And it not only reveals who he is, but it reveals who we are and what we are created for. It speaks to us of our identity and our calling and how to live in a way that actually brings peace and life and purpose and love into our lives. A couple weeks ago, some of us were challenged to consider why we are neglecting the Word of God and not reading it. And I have heard that some of you have taken up that challenge and you've begun to read the Word of the Lord. And I just really want to honor you for that. But I also believe God isn't quite ready to give up on some others of us who are still neglecting this gift from God, this letter of love from God, this word that speaks so much of his heart that he has to give you. At the beginning of the year, our pastors, Chris and Matt, they took time to wait on the Lord and ask God about a strategy for this year. What do you want for this year, God? What do you want us to do? And one of the things that God gave them was this read scripture throughout the year, that we as a church would read through the Bible in a year together. And they got this app that you can get called Read Scripture on your phone. And we are reading through the Word of God together. And I first want to just honor and really celebrate all of you who are taking that journey with us. Well done. I've had a few conversations with some of you, or I see Carolyn all the time on Facebook commenting on what God's speaking and revealing along the way as we're reading the scriptures, and that's exactly what God intended. That was his desire. And you've been receiving from God because you've submitted and you've participated in the journey. But I also believe there is some of us here today, and it literally, I've struggled with this because it's a grieving to my spirit, and I haven't understood it, and I've been bringing it before the Lord as to why some of us aren't on the journey? Why are we not reading the word in the journey? And I believe that God spoke to me, and he said that some of us aren't joining the journey because you don't understand how he works through those he's chosen to be your spiritual leaders. You see, our first and primary responsibility is the nourishment, spiritual nourishment of your soul. And so when God lays on our hearts as spirit, as pastors and spiritual leaders, a journey such as this, what is really happening is that the invitation to read through the scripture in a year is not ultimately coming from Matt and Chris. It's actually coming from God through them to you. It's an invitation from your Heavenly Father. Because he desires in this journey to reveal things to you, to reveal things to your heart and your life as you read through the Bible. And so when you choose to participate in that journey that he is leading us as a church, you are receiving that revelation and that truth. But when you are not, what happens is you actually miss out on things that your Heavenly Father intended for you to know and experience and receive from him during this season. You know, I was not a part of the decision-making process regarding this reading through the Bible in the year, but as a member of OCP, I just jumped right on board. And I want to testify today to the many times that God has used this in my life as I've daily been following along and reading it, and how God has been encouraging me. You know, it just, with my Hope WA journey, you know, God has just given us a building a few weeks ago. You know what we were reading as God was busy giving us our first building? Ezra and Nehemiah, which is all about the people coming together and building and rebuilding the house of God and the house of prayer. And I was like, wow, God, this is so amazing. And he was just pouring into me and giving me insight and revelation and encouraging me. I'm like, God, you could have only orchestrated that. That I would be reading those things at that very moment. And you know the most amazing story was this. On Monday, we signed the contract for our building. A couple days before that, God had given me a song for the house of prayer called River. And it just talks about how the river of life flows and the river of love flows and how we're swimming in the river of his presence. And the next day on Tuesday, I met with two others at the house of prayer, and we prayed together, and we said, let's just commit this journey to the Lord together. And I shared that song, River, with them, and we listened to it, and we prayed into it. The next day, our daily scripture reading was Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47 is all about the river of God flowing from the temple, and it comes to the ankles, the knees, the waist, and then you're swimming in it. And I was like, no way. And then you keep reading, and it talks about how there's these fruit trees on both sides of the river, and they bear fruit every month. And so I'm reading and I'm meditating on this scripture on this Wednesday morning, and God's speaking to me about it, and he's speaking about the fruit trees and the fruitfulness in the house of prayer. And then I go out to Acacia Prison to do prison ministry in the morning and do the Alpha course. And when you're in prison, you can't have your phones. So while I was in there, someone called and left a message on my phone. And when I got out, I was listening to it on the drive back. And it was this lady from the city who said, Candace, I've got all of these fruit trees that I'd like to donate to the house of prayer. Do you think you would like them? They're bearing fruit already. And literally as I was listening to that, my mouth just dropped open. I'm like, Lord, I'm speechless. You are so amazing. Again, only you could have orchestrated that. on this day as we're reading this scripture, and the phone call comes in that day. My friends, these are the kinds of things God does, that he orchestrates when we submit to the leadership of our pastors, and when we are willing to feed on the Word of God daily. He has so much of himself and his purposes and his ways that he desires to reveal to us. So much encouragement to give our hearts that some of you are missing out on. And as a pastor, I hate to see you missing out. I hate to see you floundering up and down in your relationship with God, just simply going through the motions week after week. I hate to see you ignorant of God and his ways and his purposes in your life. I hate to see you miss out on the encouragement that he himself, as your heavenly Father, wants to give you every day. And I hate to see you going around the mountain again and again with issues in your life simply because you're not feeding yourself on the Word of God and allowing him to renew your mind through the Word and purify your heart. And that's exactly the season we're in. And that's the point I want to get to. Purify my heart, God. Get in my Word. His word is so important to this season of asking God for a pure heart, because the Holy Spirit uses the word to reveal to our hearts what is impure and what is pure. Because if you're not getting your radar, your standard of what is pure and what is impure from God and his word, then you're probably getting it from the world. And they're way off. The world cannot help you get a pure heart. Only God and his word can reveal to you what is pure and what is impure. And so the Holy Spirit, as I come to the word, he says, okay, now you've read that, Candace. Let's look into your heart and see how your heart measures up to what you've just read in my word. And so he uses his word to reveal what's in my heart. He uses his word to test my attitudes. He uses his word to test my thoughts. And he does this all for the purpose of cleansing my heart and renewing my mind to make me more like Jesus. The scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I need my readers to come up now, please. So I'm going to read this from four different translations. Not you, Danny, it's later. I'm going to read this scripture, and all of them are on the screen as well. So as we are reading, will you please read out loud with us? Can we do that? 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Let's read this together. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
From the Amplified, All scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of the error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Are we missing the bottom section? Sorry.
My version is from the ERV. All scripture is given by God, and all scripture is useful for teaching and showing people what is wrong in their lives. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. Using the scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work.
NLT. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Thanks, guys. Did you notice how key the Word of God is to our purity of heart? It helps us to realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. It shows us what's wrong and then teaches us what is right. That is how God uses his word in our lives in this season of purity. So if you're not in the word of God during this season of purity, then more than likely you're going to be missing out and not hearing and experiencing some of the revelation that God has for you that he's wanting to do in your heart and your life to purify you. You know, I was really amazed at Trisha's testimony a couple weeks ago. And as she shared with us about how God had been purifying her and dealing with a particular issue of pride in her life. And I don't know if it was the week before or the week after that we were reading in Daniel. And there's a story in there about Nebuchadnezzar. And the word comes to Nebuchadnezzar and he says, you know what? You're not acknowledging God. You've got proud in your life. Humble yourself before the Lord. And he refuses to do so. And God says, okay, well, I will humble you then. And so there was this theme in that week for me as I'm listening to the testimony, as I'm reading the scripture, and I'm seeing God highlight this issue of pride. And so I began asking the Lord, Lord, in the season of purity, where is there pride in my heart? Will you show me? Will you shine your light on it in my own heart? And Trisha's testimony was so powerful because in sharing it, she was actually coming in the opposite spirit of pride and humbling herself before God and man. You know what it takes to overcome any pride in our hearts? A heart willing to ask God to reveal any areas of pride. See, that prayer is actually the starting point, activating humility, and gives God something to work with. And then it sets you on the journey of dislodging any hidden pride in our hearts. So in this journey of purity, if you haven't began to ask that question already, begin to bring that question before the Lord. Lord, is there any pride in my heart that you want to shine your light on? And let him go to work in your heart. He'll begin to show you. It'll probably come out in relationships or circumstances. And it'll and be like, where did that come from? And God will be like, will you ask me to shine my light on pride? Back to our verse. We also understand from this verse that if we're not living in the Word of God, then we're actually not being equipped to do what God has created us to do and be who he's created us to be. Some of us here are just floundering in our lives of not knowing what God's purpose is for us. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Part of the reason for that is you're not in the Word of God allowing him to prepare you and equip you for what he has called you to do and who he's called you to be. You may already have what your calling is, but he's been trying to get your character ready for your calling. And your character is going to be shaped and formed in and through your submission to the Word of God. Some of us want to blame our lack of passion for God, or a lack of hearing God's voice, a lack of connection with God on a lot of other people and a lot of other circumstances, when we ourselves are neglecting the greatest source of spiritual nourishment and revelation that God has made available to every one of us. One of the ways that God confirmed to me that he wanted me to speak this message today was when I was at prison on Wednesday, because the session in Alpha was on the Bible. And as I'm sitting there listening to it, he's just speaking to me and confirming to me. Yes, and so in a little bit, we're going to watch the last little 10 minutes of the Alpha session on the Bible. Before we do that, though, I want you to just do me a favor and close your eyes for a minute. And I want to ask you to choose a number from 1 to 176, just randomly. Choose a number right now from 1 to 176, anything in between. Okay, just random. Okay, you got your number? You can look at me if you got your number. Okay, everybody's got their number. All right, don't forget your number. It's an important number. You got it? Okay, so we're going to use that number to play Lotto. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to use that number after we watch the video. So as you're listening, I just encourage you to just open up your heart. Lord, what is it about your word that you want to speak to me in and through this short clip of the video?
Gospels that Jesus viewed the scripture in the Old Testament as inspired by God. For him, what the scripture said, God said. And this is a view held almost universally by the worldwide church through the ages, that the Bible is inspired. It's our authority on how to live. St. Paul says the Bible is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. The Bible is full of practical wisdom and principles for relationships, how to love and forgive others, and advice on healthy living, working, bringing up children, taking care of the elderly relatives and that kind of thing. It gives us boundaries and guidelines to help us get the most out of life.
And you might think, well, that just sounds like a rule book. It'll take away all my freedom. But actually, we all need boundaries. Imagine if sports had no boundaries or guidelines. They'd be impossible to play and they'd be quite confusing to watch.
Well, in a tricky green it is, Bill. Knoedl's really got to get back on track here after bogeying the 14th. It looks like he's ready to make a shot.
Oh, smart move. Another smart move by Knoedl. He's really rounded out his short game.
Well, these two athletes are so evenly matched here. Jeffries jumps in right away, establishing control. Whoa! Hey, I thought we might see something like this. This team is known for these shrewd kind of tactics.
If there were no boundaries or guidelines in life, then our lives would be utter chaos. God has given us guidelines for how to live, not because he hates us or wants us to be miserable, but because he loves us and he wants us to enjoy life to the full. True freedom actually comes from when we know that God is in control and that there are boundaries.
Yeah, so we know that children who grow up without boundaries are insecure, they're unhappy. And it's the same with us. Actually, the boundaries are given out of love. God didn't say, you shall not murder, because he wanted to ruin our fun. He didn't say, don't commit adultery, because he's a spoilsport. He doesn't want people to get hurt. He loves you.
Through the Bible, God has spoken. But also, through the Bible, God still speaks. The Bible has been described as a love letter from God. When you receive a letter from someone you love, you keep the letter. I've kept every single letter that my wife Pippa has ever written to me. Not because the letters are important, but because of the person who wrote it. And Jesus said this, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And the Bible is a communication from the person we love. If you like, it's a love letter from God. And that's what makes it so exciting to read. Jesus makes this point that the purpose of the Bible is not just to study the Bible for itself, but the purpose of the Bible is to bring us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He says the whole purpose of this book is to bring you into a relationship. And that relationship is what matters.
I had a friend named Earl Smith. Everyone in his family was wealthy. Earl was so rich, he didn't need to work, and instead he started taking drugs. He took such hard drugs that he ended up in hospital at the age of 30. Someone came to visit him and gave him a gift, a copy of the New Testament. Earl was thrilled because he realized that the pages of his new Bible were perfect for rolling joints. And he rolled his way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and when he got to John's Gospel, he finally started reading. After reading John's Gospel, Earl came to faith in Jesus Christ, and his life was never the same again. It affected everything in him and everyone around him, including his psychologist, a beautiful doctor named Tommy. She couldn't understand it. "I don't understand it," she said to Earl. "I have everything, a great job, money, family, friends, and yet inside I feel totally empty. Meanwhile, your life is a complete mess, and you still have this extraordinary peace about you." So Earl told her all that he'd read in the Bible. He explained what it felt like to be loved by Jesus Christ. Earl led Tommy to know Jesus. And then he married her. Earl and I trained together at Theological College.
God is longing to communicate with us, to be in a relationship with us. At the end of John's Gospel, it says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life." So the best way to invest in this relationship and to hear from God and to know Jesus is through reading the Bible. It's easy to be overly ambitious. Like you'll say, "I'm going to read a book of the Bible every day for an hour." Now that is ambitious. Or thinking of squeezing it in at the wrong time.
So, for example, you could take 10 minutes in the morning, make some breakfast, and then read a few verses. And then you need to find a place where you won't be distracted.
The most important thing you need is a plan. Decide what you're going to read. I suggest starting with one of the Gospels, the four books about Jesus' life in the New Testament. Or you could download a Bible reading plan like the Bible in 1 Year. There are many ways to read the Bible. You just need to find one that works for you.
And just keep it very simple. Read a few verses, pray, and ask God to speak to you. And then think about what the verses mean to you. What do they say about God's character? What encouragement can you take from it? How does it guide you in life's choices? What might God be asking you to do differently? And how can you put it all into practice?
And don't worry if you come across difficulties or bits that you don't really understand. I found it's a bit like a crossword puzzle. You start with a clue, and sometimes you come across one that you can't really answer. But you don't stop. You move on to the next clue, and maybe that's a bit easier, and then you start to fill in a few of the clues, and that gives you the letters that help you to understand the more difficult ones. And I found it's a bit like that with the Bible. I wrestle with all this stuff, and the more I wrestle with it, the more I begin to understand other bits that I'm reading.
And if you expect God to speak to you through the Bible, then he will. It's exciting to know God and to communicate with him in that way.
Over the last 40 years that I've been a Christian, I've read the Bible practically every day. Not because I feel I have to, it's because I love it. It's like, why do I eat breakfast every day? Because I like it. To me, not reading the Bible, it's like skipping a meal. Because the Bible to me is spiritual food. And I want to encourage you to develop a regular pattern of reading the Bible each day and praying that God would speak to you. It's an amazing experience when he does. I think back, for example, to when my father died in 1981. My parents, when I became Christian, they were neither of them were churchgoers, and they were a bit worried about it. My mother eventually became a committed Christian, but my father really was always a bit cautious, I would say, about my faith, and never certainly gave any indication that he had a faith. And so when he died, of course, I missed him. I was very shocked by his death. But for me, there was an added ingredient. I was concerned about whether he had a faith or not, whether he was a Christian. And about 10 days after he died, I was reading the Bible, and I sensed God speaking to me through a verse. And it was in Romans 10:13, which says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And I sensed God saying to me through that verse, "Your father did call on me, and he was saved." And that was so reassuring. But at that moment, Pippa, my wife, came into the room, and she said, "I've just been reading a verse which I think is for your father. It's from Acts 2:21. And it says this, 'Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" It was quite extraordinary because that verse only appears twice in the New Testament. She'd read it in one part, I read it in another. And then 3 days later, we went to this small group where we were studying the Bible, and we happened to be studying Romans 10. Particularly, we were looking at verse 13. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So like 3 times in 3 days, God seemed to have spoken to me through that same verse. But such was my lack of faith that the next morning as I was going to work, I was still worrying about that question. And as I got out of the underground, I looked up, and on the station there was this huge great billboard. And on it said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. I remember saying to a friend, telling him the story about what had happened. And he said to me, "Do you think the Lord may be trying to speak to you?" Let me ask you a question. Do you think the Lord may be trying to speak to you? And if so, will you let him?
Is God trying to speak to you? And if so, will you let him? What great questions. You know, the reason I feel so passionate about this is, first and foremost, because I love the Word of God. But even so, more so than that, I'm sensing and feeling the heart of God and him saying, "I really want to communicate with you." He really wants to communicate with you through his word. Do you hear that today? God wants to communicate to you through his word. The psalmist says that the word of God does a lot of things. I want to read a few of them as we close. Do you need any of these things today in your life? Think about the word of God and how they might actually be what God wants to use to release these things into your life. They're on the screen. The psalmist says the word of God revives us. The word of God makes us wise. The word of God gives joy to our hearts. The word of God gives light and revelation, understanding to our hearts and our minds. It warns us about what is evil and wrong and harmful in our lives. It provides direction for our lives. It refreshes us. It restores us. It strengthens us. It sets us free. Even Jesus said it. He said, "If you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and it will set you free." If you're not feeding on the Word of God, look at all you're missing out on that God has for you. I'm here to urge you. My friends, our pastors have invited us into a journey of reading the Bible together this year, and God intends that journey to be one in which he reveals more of his heart and his will and his purpose for you individually, as well as to us as a church family. If you haven't joined in yet, then we are just about ready to start the New Testament. So you've missed the Old Testament. I think it starts Friday. But we start the New Testament this week. Jump on board now. Get the app. Start reading. Ask God for forgiveness for neglecting His Word. And then invite His Spirit to speak to you as you begin to read it. And as they said in the video, if you don't understand something, don't let that dissuade you. Keep going. Keep digging. Keep reading. Ask questions. Keep your heart open. As we begin reading the words of Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus Himself says, "My words are spirit and life." So read with an expectation that His Spirit inside of you is going to cause His words to bring life to you as you listen and align your life and your mind to the truth of what He is saying. Do you remember your number? Okay. So I need you to pull out your Bibles, or if your phone, you got a phone on your Bible, a Bible on your phone, I mean, and turn to Psalm 119. And then whatever number you got. So that's your verse. That's a verse that God wants to speak to you through right now. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. So whatever number you had is Psalm 119, verse 12. That's your verse. I'm going to play a video song right now, and I want to invite you to just take these few moments to just read that scripture and let God begin to speak to you through that scripture. And then we'll close our service with a song. As the song is continuing, if I could ask the worship team to come up and just get ready. Danny, I'm going to invite you to come up here now, and we're going to just invite you to follow along with us on the screen, and we're going to read Psalm 19 together. Will you stand with us? save. I'll need another mic here. Psalm 19 is all of these verses are just all about the word of the Lord, what it does in our lives. So we're going to read from the Passion Translation. We invite you to just read with us on the screen. Make it a prayer, a declaration over your own life in closing today in regards to the word. And then I'm going to ask the worship team to close us with that song, that new song that we learned today. You know, that song is really, the heart of that song comes from Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4 about Jesus and how he heals and how he sets people free and how he delivers. That word, that song is grounded in the word of the Lord and focuses on Jesus. And so it's a great, great song for us to sing and declare and transitioning us from the Old Testament into the New Testament and focusing on the kingdom of God and the life of Jesus over these next several months. Psalm 19. Can we go back to the slides, please? Next one. Next one. There we go. Read along with us. God's word is perfect in every way. How it revives our souls. His law leads us to truth, and his ways change the simple into wise.
His teachings make us joyful and radiate his light. His precepts are so pure. His commands, how they challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant.
Every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. Nothing he says ever needs to be changed.
The rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. That's why I prize God's word like others prize the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking his living words.
For they warn us, his servants, and keep us from following the wicked way, giving a lifetime guarantee, great success to every obedient soul.
Without this revelation light, how would I ever detect the waywardness of my heart? Lord, forgive my hidden flaws whenever you find them.
Keep cleansing me, God, and keep me from my secret selfish sins. May they never rule over me, for only then will I be free from fault and remain innocent of rebellion.
So may the words of my mouth, my meditation thoughts, and every moment of my heart, always pure and pleasing, acceptable before your eyes, my only Redeemer, my Protector God.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and thank you today for your word that is living and active. Father, we ask for forgiveness where we have ever wherever we've neglected your word. And Father, I just want to ask this morning that you would just begin to resurrect people's hearts and lives wherever they need resurrecting and give them a passion and desire for your word, a love for your word, a passion. And that, Lord, that you would be at work by your spirit as they come to your word, and you would make it come alive to them in a way that it's never come alive to them before. I ask for a release of your grace upon them now, abundant provision of grace to read the word, to hear the word, to understand the word, and to put the word of God into practice in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.